Financial services firm SASFIN came out with their interim results today. For the 6 months ended December 2018, the bank reported headline earnings up 59.89% at 80.5 million rand. Total income rose 5.78% to 608.6 million rand. The company says its cost profile came under pressure following an acquisition. Its cost-to-income ratio stands just below 74%. As with other financial services firms, the company did note that the South African economy has been a tough operating environment. Well, to break down the numbers for us, I'm joined on the line by Michael Sassoon. He's CEO of SASFIN Holdings. Michael, on the face of it, your headline earnings are basically 60%. Looks impressive. What do you attribute to that?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on your show. The two primary drivers of headline earnings being up is that in the previous financial year, we had a spike in our credit losses, and that our credit performance has improved. The credit loss ratio has dropped from 200 basis points to 123 basis points, and we took some steps in strengthening our credit function. So that was the one primary driver. The other driver was that in the previous year, we had some once-off tax adjustments due in part to a change in tax legislation, which didn't repeat in the current financial year. So those are the two primary contributors to our headline earnings growth.
Right. So your costs grew by 12.31%, and you're attributing that to an acquisition you made. Just elaborate on that. And when I look at your cost-to-income ratio, it does look relatively high compared to the industry average.
Yes, our cost-to-income ratio is high, and we would like to bring it down, and we expect our cost growth by year-end to come down, hopefully into single digits. We acquired the Absa Technology Financial Solutions rental finance book that came with a team and some systems, and there was a cost attached to that. As a small banking group, which has a different spread of income to what the larger banks have, especially given our wealth business, wealth businesses typically have a higher cost-to-income ratio. I don't think we'll ever get to kind of big bank cost-to-income ratios.
Right.
But if we can get our cost-to-income ratio to the mid-60s or the high 60s, we can't get close to 74%, then that should enable us to deliver a return on equity to our investors in the high teens.
Right. And what is your return on equity right now?
It's just about 10.5%.
Right, okay. So how did your banking business perform in the period under review, and what does the performance tell you, particularly about the SME business sector and how it's managing in the current economic circumstances?
So the banking pillar did relatively well. The big part of that improvement in impairments did enable that pillar to grow its bottom line. You know, the SME is under enormous pressure in South Africa. We want to grant credit to creditworthy SMEs companies in construction and manufacturing. We all know how well reported it is that these businesses are under enormous pressure.
Yes.
But as a relatively small bank, you know, there are enough good stories of businesses in South Africa for us to identify potential clients to lend to in a way which will result in decent growth for our business. We also launched our digital banking platform for SMEs at the beginning of 2018, and that's going really well. We're incorporating, and the intention is to incorporate further services and products into the digital banking platform, including credit and foreign exchange. At the moment, it's a transactional banking capability with accounting and payroll and invoicing, and we're very excited about that initiative, which we think will take the hassle out of banking for lots of small businesses who typically struggle with their banking functionality from the larger banks. And then in our asset finance business, which is the largest part of that, of the banking business, there we see good scope for growth, especially around renting and creating finance solutions for other asset types, for example, solar or energy efficient asset types, and we are growing our asset base. We're in the process of building a new we've bought a core line of business system over there, and we're integrating a number of systems into one, which should result in a better client experience and better efficiencies. And then our final part of that business is really this lending to medium-sized businesses. And as I say, the key to success over there will be around identifying good creditworthy clients who we can get close to and turn around decisions very fast, because typically these businesses, when they do need credit, they need it quite urgently.
Mm. These medium-sized companies that you'd be looking at, could you potentially incurb on other banks' market share?
Well, that's the hope. but that's what we're looking to do. We found that many of these businesses, they want a solution. They kind of are too small to warrant the attention of the senior executives in the big bank environment. Mm-hmm. And they're too big to just be dealt with via kind of a very automated, standardized branch approach. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we see that there's real relevance for us in that market, where we can get closer to them, we can go and visit them, we understand their business. I personally will often meet these clients. Our head of credit will meet these clients. Our senior executives tend to meet the clients. And that enables us to understand the clients a bit better, to understand, even if on a pure scorecard, credit scorecard, they might not look like the most obvious credit decision, but when you get a bit closer to them, you can understand their growth potential, you can understand the downside risk, and that should enable us to approve faster credit and slightly more credit than what they might typically get. And we think that we're very well positioned to cater to that market, which has really been at the heart of our business for many, many years.
Mm. You explain it quite well, because I suppose once you adopt the tick box exercise, you could miss real gems of clients. So, yeah, getting to know them better makes sense, I guess. And what about the performance of your wealth pillar? I see the profit there grew by 8.31% to around 25.8 billion rand.
25.8 million rand. So the wealth business, equity markets to the end of December 2018 were quite tough. South African equity markets have been very tough. Mm. Even global equity markets ended on a low in December 2018. They have bounced back a bit in the beginning of this calendar year. And that did put us under a bit of pressure. Our assets under management did drop somewhat in that business at a lower rate than the market. The market also, I think, dropped 11% over the period. Our assets under management dropped just over 5%.
Yes.
And there, really, in the wealth business, there are three kind of key highlights. The first is that in our asset management business, where we recently won two Raging Bull Awards for one of our income funds, our investment performance and track record is now pretty good over 3 and 5 years across all of our asset classes. We've also taken major steps to improve our transformation in that business. We really committed to transformation after Whipple became a shareholder of ours in 2017. Mm. And the Sasfin Asset Managers today is a level one BE contributor. And we think, as far as BE level one asset managers are concerned, based on the track record and on the governance within our environment as a banking group, we think we're really well positioned. And we're quite excited about the growth prospects of that business, seeing as we've only really been in it for a few years. And it takes time to build credibility with institutional investors.
Mm. What sort of? I was going to ask you, Michael, what sort of level of appetite did you see for offshore investment, particularly among your wealth clients, as I see that area of your business did grow?
Yes, on the private client side of the business, really today that business is more and more a global wealth and portfolio management business. We went through 10 billion rand of global assets under management in that business the second half of last year. Our foreign income's grown 22% year on year. So while that might not be the greatest story for South African investment markets, but equity markets in South Africa have been tough. High net worth investors and private investors are looking for global asset management offerings and portfolio management offerings. We've taken big steps with our team to kind of improve our product set, improve our offering, and there's huge appetite to continuously grow. Clients are looking for offshore portfolio management.
So what's the outlook for the rest of the period?
I think we're pretty optimistic that the kind of trajectory we're on should unfold for the balance of the year. So we are hoping to kind of grow with our current base. And then we've invested significantly in technology. We also announced a couple of weeks ago, our alliance banking relationship with Hello Paisa. Hello Paisa is an incredible business which is offering banking to the unbanked. They've got 350,000 clients who use them for remittance and money transfer. Those clients are obvious bank clients for them. These are typically clients who are underbanked, and we're leveraging all of our digital banking capabilities into that space. with a really great partner. So there are a number of other initiatives in the business which we're quite excited about in the medium term.
That was Michael Sassoon. He's the CEO of Sasfin Holdings.